done it. That means that the fear of God is not operating in your life as it ought to be. First things need to be first. And I'm asking you today to make God your only source of blessing and supply. I'm not saying make God your number one source, because that implies that you got a number two and a number three and a number four. Make him your only source. When you make him your only source, then he begins to orchestrate all the appointments, the connections, the favor that you need. It comes from him. And it takes you out of that realm of trying to manipulate people and trying to make things happen. Make him your only source. And you get it from him. You get his plan and his purpose. And you pull yourself, get yourself out of that realm of manipulating and trying to network and trying to do things on your own. God have a network plan for you. Let God be your network. And God will connect you to who you need to be connected to, because if you don't get the wisdom from God on who you need to be connected to, you're going to introduce some wrong relationships in your life. They're going to look right, sound right, and feel good, but they won't be right for you. Satan know how to send people to you that look right, sound right, feel right. And you got to have God's wisdom to know who you need to be in relationship with. Now, that brings us to reconciliation. This will be a year of reconciled relationships. When believers who are backslidden and out of fellowship with God will be reconciled. In other words, they will return to a place of favor through repentance. They will be brought back to their former state of harmony with God. This is the year of reconciliation. So if you're backslidden and you're out of fellowship with God, you say, well, I ain't backslidden. If you're out of fellowship with God, you're not reading, you're not praying, you don't come to church regularly, you're out of fellowship. See, you think, well, I go to church once a month, twice a month, you know, whenever I feel like, whenever I can, and I read when I get time. You out of fellowship with God. You ain't in fellowship with God. Don't be deceived. You got to follow Jesus daily. Tell your neighbor, say daily. This is a daily walk. This ain't a once a month walk. This ain't a twice a month walk. This ain't a 4 days a week walk. This is a 7 day a week walk. So if you're out of fellowship, get back in fellowship with him. You see, this starts the process of the restoration, the recovery, the reconciliation. That's the most important thing, is that you be in harmony with God, that you're living your life in harmony with God's plan, that there's no hostility between you and God. It's not that God will be hostile toward you because he loves you, but our hostility when we are not walking with God is directed toward him, when we don't want what he wants for us. God wants harmony and peace in your relationship with him.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100, or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y. WYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Stand on your feet. Hallelujah.
I want to call your attention to Isaiah chapter 54. And as you are preparing to turn there, gracious God, our Father, we thank you now for this opportunity once again to speak your word. We pray for the Holy Spirit to have free course, not only in the text, but in every hearer's heart as they hear the truth presented. Now, Lord, do in us as only you can. Allow the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching ministry to minister to us even now. And, oh God, we thank you and are careful to praise you even in advance for the best that is yet to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One verse of scripture that we quote and hear so very often time, I'm led to deal in that and dwell with that for a moment in the 17th verse of Isaiah 54. And it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall arise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This word, my brothers and sisters, as Isaiah presents this truth, as he deals with God's everlasting kindness, and from verse 5 all the way through the 17th verse, he deals with this everlasting kindness of God in the face of all of the ills and all of the traps and all of the troubles set by the enemy upon the believers. He deals with this word, and as he presents it, there are many things that we can get out of it. First thing I want to say, that as I look at this verse, there are three areas that I want us to consider this morning. The first one is weapons, the second one is words, and the third one is winners. So in this one verse, you have weapons, words, and winners. And it's important to understand this text, because while it is right for us to shout at the beginning of verse 17, I think it's more appropriate to shout at the end. Because the first portion of the word references many times our present condition, our present plight, our present predicament, we shout because it says no weapon. No weapon. And so when it talks about no weapon, it's talking about weapons in three categories as it relates to time. It talks about weapons, whether it's pre-existing weapons, whether it's present weapons, or whether it's potential weapons that will be developed in the future. It says, regardless of whether it's pre-existing, present, or potential, no weapon. Well, then what would qualify also this word weapon would be helpful for us to describe in some part what weapons are. And I think more than what they are is what they do. Weapons destroy, weapons hurt, weapons harm, weapons maim. Weapons do harm to the people that they are used upon. And so when you begin to look at how weapons can be described in many ways and from many forms, taking on many shapes, don't allow yourself to consider weapons to only be handguns and knives and AK-47s and 9mm. You fall far short. The devil wants you to think that's all the weapons he has in his armory, but he's got so much to work with that you don't even have any idea. He uses people's mouths. He uses people's minds as weapons. He uses those things in the spirit realm. Those are not visible to the naked eye. He has some weaponry that many folk who are not students of the word don't understand that he uses. He can use you as a weapon against you if you're not careful. And so he says, Isaiah, that God is saying that no weapon, don't care where it comes from or who forms it, he makes clear that it's not going to prosper. That's enough to shout on right there. I like the way the Message Bible puts it. The Message Bible says, but no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servant can expect. I'll see to it that everything work out for the good, for the best. God decrees. Now listen at this, because when we move from weapons to words, and of course you can continue in your own experience, you might have experienced some of the unusual and uncommon weapons of the enemy, and wherever this applies to you, what you apply to it is the fact that it has already been assigned to failure. Failure. Whatever weapon has been assigned to hurt you, harm you, or to hinder you, it's already by God been assigned to failure. So no matter what you're going through, what's going through you, what you're dealing with, you need to know right now that that has been assigned to failure. You're gonna go through some stuff. You're gonna have to deal with some stuff, but know that it's not gonna take you out of here. God has decreed that. Now listen at this, because when you look at this, that's weapons. Now let's move to the words. Look at what the words say. It says, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Now it moves from words to weapons here, or from weapons to words here, and words, though they can be used as weapons here, words again shape our worlds. And so what we must realize is by our words we will either be justified, or by our words we shall be condemned, says the word of the Lord. And so we need to recognize that when folk desire to do things to you, most times they use words as a weapon against you. They usually would be false witnesses, or they will usually be things that would tear down your character. It'll usually be gossip or slander or whisperers. It'll be things that always lend themselves to those things that are not like God. And so when people talk about you, that's a part of human nature. That's a part of the world system. People of this world have a habit of hanging and ragging on one another. People in this world look to pull down and tear down one another. But that's not the way of the word, nor the way of the people of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus deals with this issue. And he say, you know, be happy when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. If you ain't been talked about, baby, you ain't done nothing. If you're not in the sinner's mouths and the haters' mouths and those who are against you, you ain't doing nothing worth nothing. But just try to live for Jesus. Just try to work for Jesus. Just try to do anything for him. And look at what he says. You ought to be happy when they talk about you, because it makes you realize that your works are of such quality that they are paying attention to what you're doing. And so they can't tear your works down, so they try to tear you down. Somebody's not hearing me here today. Listen at this. Jesus says, happy are you. Be happy. Now here is the qualifier here. When they say it falsely. Falsely. If they talking about what you've done, then that ain't false. So make sure that when they talk about you, they're lying on you. Make sure that when they're talking about you, the things they're saying cannot be held up in court. Make sure that when they talk about you, ain't nobody got no proof to say, here it is. Make sure when they talk about you, that when it gets to court, and whatever court, now I think you need to know we've got more than a court of law. We've got a court of commons, which is the community. We've got a court of liars. We've got a court of gossipers. We've got a court of folk who just make up stuff to be making up stuff. And they sit in judgment and they pronounce the sentence. But God say it doesn't matter what court they're in. If they're lying on you, I'm going to prove they're lying on you. And you know what that says to me? I don't need to waste my time trying to make a lie out of the lie that's been told on me. Somebody didn't hear. I see the devil wants to divert my attention from the work and put it on the word that's been spoken, so I have to justify myself. If I ain't did it, I ain't got to prove nothing. What I'm gonna prove? Because here is the point, if they got proof, baby, they gonna present it. And when they don't present it, it's because they ain't got nothing to present. But fools don't care, they just want a word. How many times have you heard a lie and it sounded like a lie and you say, well, where's your proof? And then they switch it on the one they heard, well, I ain't saying it, somebody told me that. Well, then you ask the question, can the someone that told you that back that up in court with some proof? I don't know, I ain't in that. Well, shut your mouth up then. Listen. How much stuff? Listen at this, because I want you to hear this. How much stuff could be done away with if folk only told the truth? Verified truth. Not truth because it came from my mouth, but truth because I got proof to back it up. You don't know how many folks' lives are hurt and hindered and hampered by lies and folk who swear as if they were standing there with a flashlight and they've got evidence to present and they tell it as if they were eyewitnesses. And then when challenged to produce the truth, they can't have, don't even have one iota of proof. Look at what the word says, because I want you to see this. Because when he talks about words, he's talking about three categories of words. First, he's talking about false words. He says, you know, when folk come there and they're false words, that means they're lying on you. No, don't worry about that. But then there's another category of words he's dealing with, and those are fault-finding words. Because, see, some folk will try and pick out your weaknesses and your shortcomings, your mistakes, your mess up, your past, and try and bring that against you when they don't realize that you in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Or they speak fruitless words, profitless words. And you got some folk that do that all the time, try to make your life worthless and the things that you do worthless, and the words they speak against you are fruitless. They will not develop nor bring a harvest in your life because they are the wrong seed planted in the wrong ground. Because if it doesn't line up with the word of God, you don't have the responsibility of accepting that. You can cast that out. You can cast that down. You can rebuke that in Jesus' name and not allow that to affect you or your spirit. So when he talks about that, listen again at what he says. He says, and which is a conjunction tying together the first part. Not only will no weapon that is formed, whether it's past, present, or future tense, he says, but also every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment. Now that's both in earth and in heaven. Listen at this well. See, I don't really have to wait till I get to heaven for the truth to be revealed. God's got a plan right here on earth that he will enact right here and right now. Listen at this word again. And every tongue that shall rise against, somebody say me.
Me.
Me in judgment, when they are judging me, when they're adding sentences and have not even gotten the proof, when they're saying things and doing things out of their own mean hearts. Look at what the word says. Thou, you shall condemn. So now, when they lie on you and they can't present the proof of the lie, then you will be able to condemn them for telling the lie on you. Now listen at this well, because I want you to see this. How does this play itself out? How does this unfold? How am I able to do this? First of all, when you declare the truth of God's word and understand how God operates in his word, and you're able to use his word, first of all, you recognize that God has a structure and an order for operation. I don't have to prove a lie, because a lie will prove itself. Because there is no validity, no foundation, no substance to the lie. And one thing about liars is, when they know they're lying and that lie is discovered, they move on to the next lie. They have to keep on lying because they don't have nothing substantial to stay where they are. And that's one of the things you begin to recognize. And then the word makes clear that out of your mouth you'll be justified, or out of your mouth you'll be condemned. So what you need to recognize is, I am justified by what I speak out of my mouth, not by what somebody else says about me. Or I am condemned by the words, again, that I speak out of my mouth, or the things that I have spoken that are unlike God. Now, whether we're talking about being the condemner or the one who's condemned, the position stands on who's right in the word. The word is going to be the thing that gives to you, one, peace underneath the skin. But two, not only will it give you peace underneath the skin, but you will prove later that you'll be able to speak against and speak down and condemn the lie and the liar for opening up their mouths and coming against you without any proof. And listen at this, brothers and sisters, because when you start getting to the point where you're able to stand on the word of God and declare the truth of God and call liars out and call them on the carpet and say, okay, now, brother, my sister, I have a right, even in our jurisprudence, to know my accusers and to know what accusations and proofs have been presented. And when folk can't do it, don't you know you have the right to turn it back on them then? Right. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. Why have so many folk left the church, and why so many folk have been broken in heart and left the boards and left ministries and so forth? Because of words that were so unrighteously spoken, or folk whose hearts and spirits have been crushed by unkind things, or people who've been done wrong by people who care not what comes out of their mouth, and then they use excuses like, well, that's just how I am, or you know how she is, or you know how he is. Time out for that foolishness and those kind of people messing with people who are working the work of God. Listen at this. And we ought not allow stuff like that to happen in the house of God. And when you come to that point where you recognize God is sitting up high, look again, the Message Bible says this. It says, again, and any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servant can expect. And look at what he goes on to say. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. And it closes out, God decrees it. Now, God has spoken, and my brothers and sisters, this is where you ought to be shouting. The weapon stuff is all right. Ain't much folks shooting at you with guns and shooting at you with AK-47s and 9mm, but you got an enemy speaking a word against you, speaking your blessings down, speaking your health down, speaking your goodness down, speaking your works down. You got an enemy trying to set court up to tear down your works, and your works represent God. And when they tear down your works, they're tearing down the God of your works. And when they tear down the God of your works, they ain't messing with you no more. They're messing with your God. I wish I had somebody who understood here. God is big enough to back up his own business. He just needs me to do it. He don't need me to fight for it. The record has already been declared. The battle is not yours. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if the battle is not yours, I've preached this message before. What are you doing on the battlefield then?
Yeah.
If the battle is not yours, what are you doing on the battlefield? You're on the battlefield to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're on the battlefield to be a worshiper on that battlefield, worshiping the God who's destroying the enemies. And on the end of that, you're on the battlefield to be the winner, to get the spoils of victory. If you go back to 2 Chronicles 20, you'll see God told them, this is not your battle. Stop trying to fight it. Stop trying to do it yourself. I've got this thing fixed. And at the end of the battle, it took them 3 days to collect all of the spoils. God just wants you to show up so you can get the stuff when he's through working it out. Lord, I thought I had some winners in the house this morning, but I'm trying to tell somebody, you're on the battlefield, but put your weapons down. You're not there to fight, you're there to praise. You're there to be a cheerleader. Rah, rah, God. Rah, rah, God. You're there to tell God, do what you do best. I wish I had a witness there. And when you get through shouting the victory and watching God do his thing, now God says, now all those I've defeated, all the stuff they had, it belongs to you. Get your stuff. Don't you know some enemies who's got some stuff that you would like to have? Matter of fact, it's yours that they stole. Y'all not hearing me. It's yours that they took. It's yours that they've robbed. And God said, go get your stuff back. You don't know what the enemy's got in his camp. You ain't shouting because you don't know the blessing you waiting on. It might be in his camp. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Oh, my brothers and sisters, but I'm closing. Sit down 1 minute. Let me tell you. Because the last portion of that verse says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now listen at this, I'm talking about winners now. Started off with weapons and we progressed to words, but now we end up with the winners. Those are the ones who remain standing at the end of the fight. Listen at this. Because first thing, this winner category deals with three things. The first thing is your future. Yes, sir. Your future. Which means that there is a time and a season past what you're going through. Your future. Somebody ought to realize that what you're going through, this too, it shall pass. You got a future. Somebody ought to touch their neighbor and say, I've got a bright future ahead of me. I say, somebody touch your neighbor and say, I've got a bright future ahead of me. If you ain't by nobody, touch yourself and say, I got a bright future ahead of me. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Listen at this word. Listen at this word. Because when he looks at this word and he deals with the future of the righteous, they are saved and they are satisfied by the power of God's righteousness. It is God who shall cover them. It is God who shall care for them. And it is God who shall keep them. And so when you look at this word and it talks about their future, it doesn't leave their future in limbo, because the next thing I need to tell you about their future is it's fixed. Yeah. Well, let's go back to the text. The word says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Now, if God said it, that settles it. He didn't say their righteousness was of them. He said their righteousness is of me, which means the bottom line is it's going to happen the way I said it's going to happen. You've got my word on it. And when you've got God's word on it, can't anybody take that away from you? So when you know that your future is fixed because God has promised you that no matter what they do, what they say, how they come against you, it's not going to profit, it's not going to prosper, it's not going to come to pass with the results that they designed. And when that don't work and they start lying on you, tearing you down, ripping your character to pieces, tearing up your reputation, smearing your good name, on and on and on, he's saying, I'm going to dismiss it as them being liars. But then he says, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm going to fix stuff for you.